certainly good to see each of you this morning. I'm glad that you're all doing well, and I pray that continues to be the case. I want to commend our elders for allowing the doors to be opened that we may make up our own minds whether or not to assemble today. In many places, the elders have made the decision to lock the doors and to forego assembling. However, they are trying to worship through live stream and Facebook and other medias. But I'm thankful that our elders have given us the option to be able to come and to assemble in this fashion, as always, and to worship God in spirit and also in truth. They also recommend that if you are not feeling well, if you're running a fever, you might ought to stay home. If for some reason you feel your immune system is very low, it might be wise to stay home. But as far as I know, we will continue to meet at regular times as usual. And if for some reason that should change, we will be sure to inform each of you if that happens. But I don't foresee that happening. But if it does, then we will do something different. But we will worship God. And so don't be so concerned about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the situation at hand. I'm sure you have heard a plenty about this virus over the last couple of weeks. I would recommend to you, however, that maybe there should be times when you walk away from your television set or turn it off and go out in the beautiful sunshine and enjoy God's creation. I would encourage you to stay out from where there's highly populated people, a lot of people, but watch Gunsmoke or I Love Lucy or something from time to time. Find something to occupy your mind, and it's never wrong to open your Bible and study the Word of God. And so this is a great time for us as far as giving many of us time to do the things that we haven't had as much time to do as we would like, and that would be to call our family and friends and check on them, and of course, study God's Word as much as you can. This is a time for us to draw nearer to God, not further away. This is a time when your faith should be seen and not just something that we talk about. I also would like to say thanks to Brother Greg. In my absence last week, he gave me the privilege to be able to be with Morgan and Sidon and Anna Claire and also that other guy that was there. And we had a very good worship assembly. Josh did a fantastic job, two outstanding sermons. He's one of the best young preachers I've ever known. I don't say that because he's my son-in-law, and I know he can't hear me, and so I can tell y'all how proud I am of him and Morgan's choice and choosing him for a husband. He's just very mature beyond his years, and it's just book, chapter, verse. It's Bible. And so that was very good, very encouraging to me as well. This morning, I'm going to talk to us for a little while about a man quick to act. Now, this idea is not original with me. Actually, when we were having our teachers meeting the other day and discussing things for Vacation Bible School, this was one of the things that was mentioned. I saw this, and I saw five great points that I thought would be good for me to flesh out and to use in a message. And so I told James immediately, since we were not going to use this for Vacation Bible School, I said, that would make a great sermon. And so here it is. A man quick to act. You know, one of Satan's most effective snares is procrastination. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with it in one degree or another. It may be that you're not one that procrastinates, but you may live with someone who is the world's greatest procrastinator. And you know what the end result of that is. Procrastination can be a sin of the blackest degree. The idea is this. Why do something today that I can put off until tomorrow? You know, Satan knows that if he can get people to put off doing things that they need to do today until tomorrow, tomorrow may not come. You see, Satan knows Scripture and he knows truth just as well as we do, if not better. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible says, "But thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be in the next few minutes or seconds. All we know is what's right now. And so it's very dangerous to put certain things off until tomorrow. I'm sure there are some things that I will put off until tomorrow and maybe even next week. And that will be okay. There are some things that it's all right to put off until a later date because they're not of such great importance. But some things will cost one his or her soul if put off too long. One of the studies that I've enjoyed over the years is looking at the many examples in the Bible where the Holy Spirit stresses that certain people did things very early. What I mean by that is when you read about Abraham and when God commanded him to take his son up into to the land of Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice, the Bible says in Genesis 22, verse 3, "And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Now, when I think about rising up early in the morning, y'all know I'm not an early morning person. I'm not an early bird. I'm a night owl. But that's not exactly the point that we want to get here. The point is, God had commanded Abraham to do something, and Abraham did not put it off. He was busy about it. He got up early in the morning to do what God told him to do. Exodus chapter 24, verse 4, talking about Moses. "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill." In Joshua chapter 8, verse 10, "And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai." Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 20, "Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord." Just example after example. I've just shown you a few, but there are many where that's actually stressed over and over again. Notice this verse. In Luke chapter 21, verse 38, the Bible says, "And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him." Jesus was in the temple early in the morning and he was teaching his word. And so the people wanted to hear his word, so they rose up early in the morning. They didn't put it off. They didn't tarry. That's the idea. In Mark chapter 16, verse 2, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." I think about many of y'all as I was putting this together. I know many of you, you're up very early in the morning. You're up before the sun's even out. You're that type of people. When you've got a task at hand, you're all about it. And so you get good rest at night, you get up early in the morning, and you get busy knocking out the things that you know you need to do. But what we want to do here is maybe make a little more application towards spiritual things. To get up early, to not just so much early in the morning. There are things that we need to do at night as well. But the idea is there's things that need to be done that we do not need to put off. If that means that you stay up late at night getting those things done, or if it means that you get up before daylight and you start getting those things done, or as soon as you're off work, you start getting those things done, the point I want to get across this morning is that when we have important, serious things to do, we don't need to put them off. We need to be busy doing what God would have us to do. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, The Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Don't put God off. Don't ever put God off. A study of the life of Peter will show that man should be quick to act and not delay in the necessary things. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon wrote, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever you know you need to be doing, do it, and do it with all your power. For, why, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. The idea is there are things you need to do. They're of extreme importance, and you don't need to put them off. You don't need to delay. You need to take care of business right now while you have time, because it is appointed a man wants to die. And when that time comes, it will be too late for us to do those necessary things. And so as we think of the Apostle Peter, to me, he's one of the greatest examples of being quick to act. Let me give you a few examples. Peter was quick to act. He was quick to follow Jesus. The passage that Chance read to us just a few minutes ago, the Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 18 through 20, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We know what he was talking about. He was going to send them out preaching and teaching the gospel to catch men with the gospel net, right? But notice, this is what I want you to see. Look at verse 20. They straightway left their nets and followed him. Oh, when he said, come on, they were quick to follow. They were very quick to follow. You see, Jesus has invited everyone to follow him. That's why in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus' words here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says to us, as he said to Peter and the others, you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You see, we've all been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Knowing that, we realize that some obey and follow quickly, just like Peter. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. On the day of Pentecost, those folks heard the gospel preached as a fact for the first time, and about 3,000 of them were quick to follow Jesus. They didn't put him off. What about the Philippian jailer? You know the story about the Philippian jailer, how that Paul and Silas had been cast into prison for preaching the gospel. The earthquake came, the prison was shaken, and the men were freed, but they didn't leave. And as a result of all that took place, he eventually took Paul and Silas into his home, and he there heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. The Bible says, and he took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. You see, when that jailer realized that Jesus had called him to follow, he didn't tarry. He didn't put it off. Once he had the proper understanding, he obeyed the same hour of the night. Think about that. The earthquake, the taking these men, the conversation, then taking these men to his home, wherever that may have been, and then being taught well enough to understand that they needed to obey the gospel. He took and washed their stripes and then obeyed the gospel. All that in 1 hour. I would say he was like Peter, wouldn't you? They followed quickly. They were quick to act. All people in the Bible, all examples we have are not like these. There are many others, but there are also those who chose to procrastinate. They too have been called to follow Jesus. But in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, the Bible says, "And as he," that's Paul, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Oh, isn't that a sad story? Isn't that one of the saddest statements that is in the Bible? Oh, you go your way. When I have a convenient season, then I'll call. What's that? Procrastination. Don't you know on that day, on that occasion, the devil had a smile from ear to ear when he heard this man, after he had heard the gospel proclaimed, he had realized that he'd been called by Jesus to follow him, as was Peter, not as an apostle, but as a disciple. He said, not now. Not now. I think about another man. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul is teaching him, and he teaches him that it's time for him to follow Jesus, that he's been called by the gospel. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. How sad. How much unlike Peter. When the Lord called Peter, he went immediately. When the Lord called Agrippa, he said, "Mm-mm. I've thought about it, and I almost decided to, but nah, not going to do it." Let me ask you a question. Are you quick like Peter to follow Jesus? If you've obeyed the gospel, just think back for a moment. Once you came to that point in your life, when you realized that Christ had called you to follow him and you knew what that meant and you had counted the cost, how long did you put the Lord off? Did you wait for a week, a month, a year, or 10? Or did you follow immediately? As soon as you realized that you had been called by the gospel to become a disciple of Christ, did you obey immediately? Or could it be that you're at that point in your life right now where you understand perfectly well exactly that Jesus Christ has called you to follow him, to be a disciple of his? You understand what the cost is. You know what you must do to enter into that situation. But yet, you're waiting. You're not like Peter, are you? I hope you're not like Agrippa. I sure hope you're not like Felix. You see, once you realize that the Lord has called you to be a disciple of his, and you understand the way that that is made possible, and you understand what that means, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me," Matthew 16, 24. It's time to be like Peter. It's not time to worry about, "Oh, well, you know, I'm not perfect, and I'm not sinless, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I got this going on, and I got that." No, no. Once you realize these facts, it's time to follow Jesus. Let's learn from Peter to be quick to act when it comes to following Jesus. Peter was also quick to speak up. Of all the disciples, all the apostles, I think he may have been the quickest. But you see, sometimes when he would speak out, he was really asking questions so that he could learn. You've got to admire that. You've got to admire a person who has courage to put themselves out there, so to speak, especially when it's in public. But to put themselves out there and ask questions that they're thinking, "Oh, they're probably thinking this is a really dumb, stupid question, and everybody ought to know the answer to this, but I don't." And so, no. Listen, Peter had a question. He put it out there, didn't he? Matter of fact, it's here for us to read. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says, "Then came Peter to him," to Jesus, "and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" He was wanting to know something. I don't know about you, but I learn a lot of what I've learned by asking questions. I love to ask questions because when I ask questions, I get answers, and then I can take that and I can process it. It's good to speak up when you don't understand something. When I study with people, I ask them, please, if I say something you don't understand, stop me right there. Ask me so I can go to other passages, other scripture can help you. If you don't say anything, you won't get help. It'll take much longer to come to a knowledge of the truth. Look, here's Peter again in Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Here's a pretty good question. What shall we have therefore? What's in it for us? I mean, if you're going to give your life, you're going to give your all to follow Jesus, isn't it a fair question to ask? Well, what's in it for us? Yes. Don't you know there were others that wanted to ask the same question but probably didn't have the courage to do so? Matthew 15, 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. He heard a parable spoken by Jesus. He didn't really understand it. You know, some of those parables were very hard to understand. And so he said, Lord, declare it to us. Open our understanding. Help us to know what you're saying here. You see, you kind of would like to have a person like Peter beside you probably in those situations, because you could just wait just a minute and you'd say, oh, he's going to ask that question. I'm going to get my question answered, and this guy's going to do it because he's always quick. He's eager. He wants to know. He wants to learn. So he puts himself out there and says, declare unto us this parable. He wasn't worried if others around him were thinking, man, what's the matter with you? You don't understand that simple parable? No. Peter wanted to know. And so he was quick to speak up. He was quick to ask questions. And we need to follow his example in that way. Even at Mount Transfiguration, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses, one for Elias. You know, it's like, pretty much in the way I see that, it's like, is it okay if we make these tabernacles for each of the three of you great men? Of course, he should have been focused more on one than three, but they were great people, and he did greatly respect them. But anyhow, he spoke out. He spoke up. He was quick to say what he needed to ask. Sometimes he was just seeking proof, it seems like. Such as in Matthew 14, verse 28, when Jesus came to them and he was walking on water, and they were afraid and thought he was a ghost and all those things. And then the Bible says, guess who? Peter, quick to speak up, answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What's he wanting? Proof. If you're really the Lord, call me out there. Let me walk on the water, then I'll believe. Give me some proof. I'm a person that likes proof, don't you? I mean, if you told me you could take a good run and you could jump over this building with one single leap, I'd say, hey, give me some proof. I've got to see that. Well, Peter was a man that liked proof. He didn't want to just have a blind faith. He wanted proof. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's nothing wrong with us speaking up and saying, hey, can you prove that? I need proof. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to be like those noble Bereans. We need to be like Peter. We need to seek for proof. And sometimes he was confessing his faith. Remember when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi? It's recorded in Matthew chapter 16, starts about verse 13. And he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And, of course, they gave all this, what people were speculating. Some say thou, Jeremiah, Elias, or one of the prophets. But then Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, but whom do ye say that I am? Guess who spoke up first? Peter. You remember what he said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was confessing his faith in Jesus Christ. And then I remember in Matthew 26, verse 33, Also, verse 35, the Bible says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Well, he was confessing his faith in the Lord, all right, but yet this man was still very confused on some biblical truths. You see, they're learning some spiritual things they were not used to. They didn't fully understand. And so they're thinking an earthly physical kingdom. And when Peter cut off the Malchus ear and the Lord rebuked him, put the ear back on the soldier, don't you know how confused Peter must have been? Thinking a physical battle, I'm ready to go to war and fight for you. And then he's rebuked because it's a spiritual battle. He didn't have that full understanding, but yet he had great faith in the Lord. He had confidence in the Lord, and he didn't mind speaking out, confessing that faith. And sometimes he really just spoke out of ignorance. And this is what I do sometimes. Matthew 16, verse 21 beginning, the Bible says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things with the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That's the core of the gospel, isn't it? That's the heart of it. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? You see, Peter was thinking like a human being would. And not so, Lord. These things are not going to happen to you. Plus, you see, you're going to be our king, so you can't. These things can't happen to you because you're going to be our king. You're going to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. It can't be. But you remember he said, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. We've got to be careful that we're not saying those things that be of men. We need to make sure that we stay in line and harmony with the will of God. And during these difficult times that we're going through, even right now, we need to make sure that we don't start telling people this is okay and that's okay and something else is okay because of the situation at hand. We need to make sure that we go back to the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. Let's not be troubled and shaken in mind. Let's always go back to God's word and say, what does God say about it? Because we, like Peter, may say things that are not accurate. But God will always be true. And so here's Peter. He was one who was, he was really quick to speak up. He would speak up and ask questions when he wanted to learn. He would speak up seeking proof. He would speak out confessing his faith and sometimes in ignorance. We too must be truth seekers, just like Peter. That should be a life's goal for us, to seek truth, as much truth as we can, and to be quick to speak up and ask questions when necessary. You remember Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth. And what's going to make you free? The truth. Peter wanted the truth. We should desire the truth as well. In Acts chapter 8, you remember the story about the Ethiopian eunuch? He was reading Isaiah. The Bible says, beginning in verse 30 of Acts 8, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Great question. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Great reply. Notice, this is the part I love the best. And he desired Peter that he would come up and sit with him. He desired it. Listen, you've got to have that desire. If there's anything I've learned over the years in trying to teach people and study with people is this, if they don't desire it, you're not going anywhere. If they don't want to see the truth, if they don't desire to know God's word, they're not going to see it. That's even in the Lord's church. When their minds are fixed on what they think and what they want to do, you show them what God says, they cannot see it. Why? They do not have the desire to know the truth. If you have that desire, you can know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As Peter said in 2 Peter 2:2, we should be as newborn babes. We should desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Some folks are in the church, they'll never grow. You know why? They don't have the desire. They don't hunger for the Word of God. They don't crave the truth in its simplicity. They want the Bible to say what they want it to say. They want the Bible to fit their lives and their likings. They'll never mature in the faith like that. You can't do it. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That's the key. Have your ears open. Listen. Put God's word up to your ear. Listen to what God has to say. He hasn't made it so complicated that you can't understand it. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, we learn that we are to be like Peter and we are to be quick to speak up for what we believe. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Peter was quick to speak up. And we should be quick to speak up as well. But also, notice that Peter was quick to repent. To repent. You remember the occasion when the Peter and them had been fishing all night. I don't know if you know much about commercial fishing. I've done a little bit of it, and it's very tiresome. It is very hard work. But they had been fishing all night. They were dragging those nets back and forth, this way and that way. And you know there's not anything much more discouraging than to pull a net in and there's no fish in it. There may be fishing line, there may be somebody's boot, there may be limbs and rocks and all sorts of things that you have to dig and untangle your nets, but no fish. You get very discouraged. Well, on this occasion, that was the way it was. They were very discouraged. But when the Lord came to them, he got into Peter's ship and he said, Peter, cast your net back out on the other side. And then Peter began to explain to the Lord something the Lord already knew, that is, that they had toiled all night and had taken nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will put the net back into the water. And he did, and you remember what happened? The net was so filled with fish that it began to break. And he had to call for his partners to come over with their ship to be able to handle all the fish that was in the net. But I want you to notice the attitude of Peter. Luke chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible said, when Peter saw it, when he saw what had happened, and he saw all those fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, when we ever start doubting the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty and their power, we might ought to be quick like Peter to fall down upon our knees and ask God to forgive us for doubting Him and His Word. Don't ever doubt God. Peter repented as soon as he realized that he had sinned. He didn't put it off. In Matthew 26, verse 75, after Peter had made that bold statement that he would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus had affirmed to him that he would surely deny him three times, well, after it happened, the Bible says, but Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Notice what he does next. It hit him. He realized, I did it. I sinned against God. Did he procrastinate? Did he walk around in sin for the next 6 months? The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Violently did that man weep. That's a show of his inward repentance. In Acts chapter 20, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Notice here the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, because Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Well, he wanted to put it on Peter, didn't he? He wanted to really make it hard on Peter. But I have prayed for thee. Now that's comforting to know, isn't it? That Jesus prayed for Peter. He told him what was going to happen, and he said, now I want you to know I'm praying for you. Is there anyone you'd rather have pray for you than Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Is there anyone you'd rather have on your side? Is there anyone that you would rather have pulling for you to be able to overcome when you're knocked down by Satan and his fiery darts? But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Listen, Peter sinned, but his faith did not fail him. Do you know that could happen? Is that possible? Is it possible to have faith and it not fail thee, but yet you sin? Did Peter sin? Jesus prayed that his faith would not fail him. Sometimes it will fail you and sometimes it will not. It has a lot to do with our reaction to what takes place. Notice, he then says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus knew that Peter was going to sin. He told him that he was going to sin. And he told him before he ever repented that when you repent, I want you to get busy now. And I want you to go strengthen the brethren. Sometimes it's good for us to realize that we have feet of clay, isn't it? It's good for us to realize if great men like Peter and David and others could commit sin, but still overcome that, their faith not fail them, and then be great workers in the kingdom to strengthen people. To help make them strong. Yes, Peter was one who was quick to act. Once he realized that he sinned, he was quick to act. We sin after becoming Christians. And when we do, we must be like Peter. We must repent. Here's an example of a man who was a Christian. Simon the sorcerer, you remember him, Acts chapter 8, who had bewitched the people for a long time with trickery, basically. But when he saw the true miracles that was being done by Philip, and as the city repented and obeyed the gospel, so did this man Simon. But the Bible says that when Simon saw, verse 18, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Have you ever known of a gift of God that could be purchased with money? His thinking was totally out of whack. But yet he was a Christian. He had been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. But yet he sins, saying, give me also this power, that on whom I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 22, this is what Peter said to him. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And you remember what he did. He said, Peter, pray for me, that these things come not upon me. When it was brought to his attention that he had committed sin, he acted quickly, as did Peter. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, John writes and says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Anyone here that does not sin? And the truth is not in us. If, conditional, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The question is this. Do I, like Peter, repent when we sin? You remember what Jesus said to those churches in Asia in the book of Revelation? Basically, what he said to them was this, those who are in sin. He said in Revelation 3, verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and be baptized." They'd already been baptized. They were already Christians. He said, "Be zealous and repent." Peter was a great man. He wasn't a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. But he was a great man, a godly man, a man strong in faith and good deeds. He was a man that was quick to act. He did not procrastinate. He did not put off until tomorrow what needed to be done today. We need to make sure we're following in these steps ourselves. We too need to be quick to follow Jesus. And we need to be very quick to speak up. And when we realize that we've committed sin, we need to be quick to repent of those sins. This morning, if there are things that we've discussed in Peter's life that we need to be quick to do that we haven't done, may God give us the strength and the faith to be able to do those things that need to be done and not leave them undone or put them off when they're of such a serious and spiritual nature. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you're not a Christian, you've reached the age of accountability. There's nothing whatsoever that's more important than you obeying the gospel today. The last thing you want to put off is obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you know what you need to do, that is, believing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3, confessing Him before men to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and being baptized to be saved, Mark 16:16, for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, if you're putting that off, you don't need to do that anymore. Learn from Peter to act quickly on something so serious. There's things you don't know. You may say, "Well, I just don't understand. I need some answers. I'm unclear on what I must do to be saved, or I'm unclear on what I must do after I've obeyed the gospel. I'm unclear of what's expected of me." Then you need to speak up. And if you've obeyed the gospel, you need to speak out. You need to let people know, especially, always, but especially right now. What does our world need to see? What does our world need to hear? Listen, we are the people of God. They need to see that we have great faith in our God. Our strength comes from the one in whom we trust, not in ourselves, but in Him. Sometimes we're called upon to be different from everyone else. And this may be one of those times when we have great opportunities before us to stand up and to speak out and to be an example for all the world to see. And then, of course, if you, like Peter, have committed sin after obeying the gospel that is held against you at this time, you need to repent and pray. If perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven thee. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come? Us together, we stand and sing.